There were four country churches in a small Texas town. There was a Presbyterian church, a Baptist church, a Methodist church, and a Catholic church. Each church was overrun with squirrels. One day, the Presbyterian church called a meeting to decide what to do about the squirrels. After much prayer and consideration, they determined that the squirrels were predestined to be there, and they probably shouldn't interfere with God's divine will, so they just left them alone. The Methodist church, the squirrels had taken up habitation in the baptistry bowl. The deacons met and decided to put a cover on the baptistry bowl and drown the squirrels in it. The squirrels somehow escaped, and there were twice as many there the next week. The Catholic church got together, decided that they were not in a position to harm any of God's creation, so they humanely trapped the squirrels and set them free a few miles outside of town. But 3 days later, the squirrels were back. The Baptist church came up with the best and most effective solution. They baptized those squirrels and registered them as members of the church. So now those squirrels only show up on Christmas and on Easter. They took care of that problem for them. I'm glad that is not you. Thank you for being here this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 24. The Bible says, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." I'm sorry, that was verse 23. Sorry about that. Verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing," and we're going to come back to that word this morning, "choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible." Moses is one of the greatest men in all of Scripture. So many people look back to Moses as the leader of the Hebrew nation, the one that brought him out of Egypt and brought him into the promised land. And what a great man he was, and what a great way God used Moses. But Moses, before God used him, had to make some choices. This morning, it's the first Sunday of a brand new year, and I want to challenge you to make some choices this morning. You can call them resolutions if you want to. You can call them decisions if you want to. I'm fine with either one of those. But there's some choices that we need to make. And I want to look at Moses. And this is from the book of Hebrews, so it's kind of a summary of Moses' life. And I want you to look at some of the decisions that he made. We'll go through them kind of quickly. But I want you to see these choices that Moses made. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years," here's the first choice he made, "refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You remember Pharaoh's daughter was the one that rescued Moses out of the Nile River and took him into her home and made him her own son and adopted him into her home, made him a prince of Egypt. Made him one of the ones who, I don't know if he would ever be a ruler of Egypt because he was not really Egyptian, but brought him into the palace, made him royalty. And Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Here's a choice that he made. And here's a choice that I want to challenge you to make. He chose God over a position. And I want to challenge you as you start this year to put God first and choose God over whatever position might come up this year. Let me give you some examples. If you're a young person, a job as a fast food manager looks really good. You're 17 years old, $40,000 a year, maybe more money than you've ever made before. It looks really good, but God might just have a better offer. Now, if that's God's plan for you, do it. But maybe God has a better plan for you. And I don't want you to sell out and choose a position of maybe manager or general manager even, when God's got a bigger plan for you somewhere else. Many years ago, a young man went to China as a missionary. He had an income of $2,500 a year. All right, this was a while ago. $2,500 a year was his income. A company decided that they wanted this young man to work for them, and they offered him a position with a $5,000 salary. They said, "We will double your salary." But he said no. They raised their offer to $7,000. They raised their offer to $10,000, four times as much as he was making. He still said no. The company contacted him and they asked him if the salary was his sticking point. And they asked him, is the low salary the reason you're not accepting? And he said, oh no, the salary's big enough, but the job isn't. You know, there's some bigger things to do than just making money. And I want to challenge you right off the bat to choose God over any position that might be different than what God wants you to do. I'm so thankful for every person who served our country and defended our freedom. And in our church, we make a big deal about honoring our veterans, and I think we ought to, and we'll continue to do that. But if God calls you to serve Him, don't join the army instead. God's got a big plan for you. Choose God over a position. Nothing against the army. I could have said any one of the armed forces there. But choose God over a position. God's got a bigger calling for you than what you might think is what you want to do. And I want to challenge you this morning to choose God. Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He refused to be called the prince. He refused to call his Egyptian grandfather, Grandpa Pharaoh. I don't know if he would call him Grandpa Pharaoh or not, but he chose and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. A college degree can be a great thing. I got a college degree, and several folks in here, a lot of folks in here have a college degree. But if God calls you to serve Him, don't choose a career instead. There's a great option if God calls you to serve Him. Consider one of the great Christian colleges where you can get a degree, ready for this, in serving God. Let me challenge you about this. This is contrary to popular opinion in most circles. But if God calls you to serve Him, just do it. God's got a great plan for your life. Now, if God has a plan for you to be in any career, do that career that God calls you into. Follow His leading, but choose God over the position that you think you might want. You might have to choose between a promotion and serving God. Now, I'm talking not to just teens trying to make a decision on careers, but to adults, you've been working jobs and you've been in a career for years maybe, and you might have to choose between a promotion and serving God. So don't choose God over a position. Don't take a promotion that'll move you to a place that doesn't have a good independent Baptist church. There's so many people will take a job and move somewhere else and say, Pastor, but there's no churches there. Oh, here's an interesting thought. Take a job and then say, Pastor, would you see if there's a good church there because I got a job there? Well, we got it backwards. Make sure there's a good church there before you accept the job. Don't choose God. Don't choose a position over God. Don't take a promotion that'll keep you from serving God. Don't take a promotion that'll cause you to compromise the decisions that you've made for God in the past. So far I've made it through one point, and I've already lost about half of the audience this morning, all right? I know we may not agree on all of this, but listen, this is what Moses did. And when Moses did this, he refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter. God was able to use him in a much greater way than he ever imagined he could be used. Choose God over position. He, in verse 24, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In verse 25, the Bible says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Here's another choice that Moses made. Here's a choice that you need to make. And that is to choose to suffer affliction or choose God in spite of affliction. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now, most of us aren't going to choose affliction on purpose. We're not going to go up to somebody and say, would you smack me around a little bit because I want to be persecuted? Now, that would just be dumb. There's a story in the Old Testament where the prophet goes up to somebody and says, hit me. And how many of you remember that story? I don't remember the story well enough to tell it this morning, but he went up to him, he hit him, and he refused to hit him, and finally he did. I'm not saying you do that. You're not looking for being persecuted. You're not looking to go into some place and try to have people hate you. But Moses chose, as the Bible says, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Choose God in spite of affliction. Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. You got to remember this morning. We're in a battle between God and evil. Not just good and evil, but between God and evil. Why would we ever expect not to be persecuted? We're in a war. There's a war between God and this world, a war between God and evil. We will be persecuted. The Bible says, and all they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I want to challenge you this morning. Go ahead and just do that. Just choose God no matter what's going to come your way. Choose God in spite of the affliction. As we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ, I believe the persecution's going to increase. You're going to be made fun of for being a Christian. You might be mocked when you take a stand for what you believe. You may lose friends when your convictions conflict with their actions. But I'm challenging you this morning, choose God in spite of afflictions. What you believe may be different than what your friends do. And they might not like you for that, because just you being there convicts them about their sin. Now I'm saying this morning, go ahead and choose God anyway. Go ahead and choose to do right. You may have to pick some new friends. Actually, they'll help you do that. You go ahead and choose God. You choose to stand for right. Those friends won't want to be your friends. They'll help you make some new ones. You're like, oh, pastor, I'm going to lose my friends if I stand for right. Well, sometimes you do. I wonder if Moses lost any friends. He's 40 years old and he runs for his life. Because he chooses not to be Pharaoh's son anymore. He chooses to side with the Hebrews. He ends up running for his life to the backside of the desert. And he chose God in spite of affliction. Verse 25, choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Let me challenge you this morning. This is New Year's Day. You made it through last night. You're in church this morning. But choose God over the pleasures of sin. You know, sin's tempting. And sin looks good sometimes. And the way it's packaged, it just looks like something that I've got to have that. Moses chose not to enjoy those pleasures of sin for a season. Sin's like an addiction. Sin always escalates. Sin can bring temporary pleasure, and we learn that from this verse. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. I would be misrepresenting sin if I told you that sin's never enjoyable. That's why people do sin. But the pleasures of sin are temporary. They're just for a season. Sin can bring temporary pleasure, but it always leads to destruction. James says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Choose God over the pleasures of sin. Now, y'all are looking at me like I'm preaching a Sunday night sermon on a Sunday morning. We'll preach a Sunday night sermon tonight. Well, you get that too, all right? So don't worry, you're not missing out. You know, sin is so tempting. And sin is something that we want to do and something that'll pull us in, but it will destroy you. There's two passages in Proverbs that warn us about how sin works. It's talking about a sin and the punishments of that sin, but it also shows us the way sin works. It's Proverbs 7:21, and this is the way sin works. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. There's a temptation to sin. This person goes and falls into that temptation. He yields to that temptation. And the Bible says, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Listen to this. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. And yes, that's talking about temptation by an evil woman, but it's also the way sin works. It's tempting. And sin will lie to you and get you to give in to it, but it always leads to destruction. In Proverbs chapter 9, the Bible talks about a foolish woman who's clamorous. She's simple and knoweth nothing. The Bible says, she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city to call passengers who go right on their way. So picture this, a foolish woman sitting on this chair, where kind of up on a wall where she can call people to sin. This is how sin works. And it calls out, you're trying to go right on your way, and sin calls out and sin tempts you. And here's the call. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith unto him, here's the lie, stolen waters are sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. but he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell." So it's talking about a foolish woman and the results of giving into that particular temptation. But this is how sin works. As you're walking to this journey of life, as you're trying to do right, sin will call to you and sin will tempt you to go that way. But you don't know that her house or sin's house is where the dead are, and her guests are in the depths of hell. Choose God over the pleasures of sin. Would you make a decision this morning that I'm going to choose God instead of sin? I'm going to choose to do right. I'm going to choose God instead of yielding to this temptation. You may, in your mind, be struggling with a temptation to sin. I want to tell you this morning that if you'll choose God over the pleasures of sin, you'll be rewarded and you'll avoid the destruction of sin. Verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. What did Moses do? He chose God in spite of reproach. People were going to hate him. People were going to be upset at him. Imagine his own family reproached him, didn't want to associate with him after what Moses did. He valued the reproach of Christ, esteeming, the Bible says, the reproach of Christ. What is the reproach of Christ worth? Is it a good thing? If I was to make this choice, okay, I've got all the treasures of Egypt on this side, or I've got the reproach of Christ. People are not going to like me because of Christ. Which one am I going to choose? Moses said, this, the reproach of Christ, is more valuable to me than all the treasures that Egypt has to offer. He valued the reproach of Christ. I've mentioned this before, but I was a freshman at UNM. I had worked at a summer camp the year before and gotten to know some of the other staff members that were there, all teenagers, mostly teenagers. After that summer, I came back and I went to UNM as a freshman, and I was going to classes. Between one of the classes, down in the, if you can picture UNM, if you've been on there, there's a big area that's kind of a depressed area. I don't know if depressed was the right word to use there. Well, it's that too. But it was kind of a lower area outside of the student union building. It's the place where people always set up their displays, you know, their protests, you know, things like that. And I was there, and I just walked out. I think it was an English class. It may have been Mitchell Hall. I think that was the name of the hall that I was in. And I was standing there, and there was a man across this courtyard area, this concrete area, and he was holding a cross. And he was trying to share the gospel by making a public scene of himself. And as he was holding the cross, there was a group of students that were around him, and they were mocking him, and I don't know exactly what they were saying to him, a lot of foul language that they were directing towards him. But as I looked there, I saw one of my friends that I had made at that summer camp that year leading the group mocking this Christian that was trying to share the gospel with him. And here I was hiding in the shadows, and I was torn. I was one of my friends there, but they were mocking a Christian. They were mocking somebody, a preacher was holding a cross, and I would like to say that I came out of the shadows, and I stood with him and said, this is what I believe too, but I didn't. I stayed in the shadows. I remember watching from a distance thinking, I'm glad that's not me getting made fun of. I'm glad that's not me that they're all yelling at and making fun of. I still regret the fact that I was such a coward. We need Christians that will identify with godly people. Moses chose God in spite of reproach. He said, I don't care what the reproach is. I don't care what people think. I'm choosing God even if they don't like me for my decision. What a great decision to make this year. We need Christians that will identify with godly people. They will say, those are my people. That's the kind of person I am. We need some teens that will do right instead of what's popular. You know, anyone can follow the crowd and deny Jesus. That's what's easy. Jesus was hanging on the cross. It's Matthew 27. The Bible says, likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and the elders. All these groups of people mocking him and said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. They're mocking him. They're making fun of him. If he's God, just let him come off the cross himself. The chief priests were mocking him. The scribes were mocking him. The elders were mocking him. But here's the verse that gets me. It's the next verse. It's Matthew 27:44. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. The chief priests were mocking him. The scribes were mocking him. The elders were mocking him. And as Jesus is hanging on the cross, the thieves on both sides of him, they start mocking him too. It's easy to be in the group that's mocking the one who's standing for right and mocking the Christian. My challenge to you is this: choose God in spite of reproach. It may not be popular. You may be the only one standing with the one who is doing right, but go ahead and just choose God. You may be standing by yourself. You may be like the one who is carrying the cross on the UNM campus and everybody around mocking him. You may stand by yourself, but with God, you still make a majority, so keep standing. Choose God in spite of reproach. Verse 26, we see that he chose God over worldly treasures, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Choose God over worldly treasures. He valued the reproach of Christ greater than the treasure in Egypt. Think about this. The world offers some pretty amazing things. It really does. This world can offer a lot. It can offer a lot of money. It can offer fame or fortune or whatever it is that you want. It's pretty interesting how the devil has a way of getting what you want kind of in front of you, like that carrot hanging in front of the donkey that he wants to go get. The devil can put what you want in your way and make it so that it looks like you can get it. It's something you can reach. The world makes some pretty amazing offers. You can really make a lot of money if you want to and you work hard enough. If you spend your life, I saw a book, or the title of it. It's a guy, he's a Christian man, so I'm not saying the book is bad, but he said this, Lessons from a Hillbilly. All right? Guy with a big old beard there. His name's Dan. Some of you may have heard his wife speak. They speak at conferences all over the country. Dan Cavender is his name. Big old beard, Lessons from a Hillbilly. He's made millions of dollars, and he wrote how to work hard. And even a hillbilly can make a lot of money, basically, is what he's saying. You work hard enough, you apply some principles, you can do it. You can spend your life making money. And if that's what God calls you to do, and God wants you to do that, and he's got a way for you to use that to serve him, and that's what he wants you to do, do it. But that's not a very good goal in and of itself. The richest people in this world are pretty miserable. Money can't buy happiness. Now, I've heard people say that, and I've thought, well, try me, right? Load me up with money, and I'll just tell you if I'm happy or not. But it doesn't. It doesn't. So if you spend your life seeking after money, the world can give that to you. But I want to challenge you to choose God over worldly treasures. You can be super famous if you want to. You get the right breaks. You get they call them record labels still. I don't even know if they call it. They probably still call it album labels. I don't know what they call it. You get the right breaks. You get the right person to notice you. You've got some talent. You can make it big. You can be super famous. Everybody will love you until they don't, and then they hate you. And that made sense right there, right? You can be famous if you want. If that's what you want to spend your life doing, I want to challenge you to choose God over worldly treasures. You'll never be as happy as you will be serving God. Verse 26, we see that Moses chose God because of the rewards God offers. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, listen to this, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. God has more for me than this world ever has to offer. I'm choosing God. You know, that's the case. God has more for you than this world can ever give you. It just may not look that way at the beginning. Moses understood that he would be compensated for obeying God. Recompense. Romans 8:18, the Bible says, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. No matter what happens here, the sufferings of this present time are nothing compared to that glory. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. God always pays better than the world. It may not look that way up front, but he always pays better than the world. You remember the story of Pilgrim's Progress. Christian was making all this progress, and he was going towards the celestial city. And as he was making his way towards the celestial city, Apollyon comes, and Apollyon attacks him. And Apollyon says, listen, you go back to where you came from, and I will double your pay. And Pilgrim says, I've been working for you my entire life, and all I know is this, that the wages of sin is death, and I don't want your wages anymore. choose God because of the rewards that God offers. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Choose God, even if it means forsaking the life that you know. This is a tough one. What did Moses do? He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. Wait, just time out. Who was the king? The king's his stepdad, or at some point even maybe his brother. He forsakes Egypt. He's not afraid of the wrath of the king. He turned his back on everything that was familiar to him. He'd been raised in the palace of Egypt. He knew everything he needed to know to be successful in the world. He was more comfortable where he was than where God wanted him. Have you ever been there? More comfortable where you are than where God wants you? I've been there. I think I lived there. Going to Bible college was like that for me. I was scared to death. Some of you have done that now. And you can look back and you can say, wow, that was a big step for me. I still have dreams about going to Bible college. I downgraded it from nightmares. They used to be nightmares. They're not so much anymore. They're just bad dreams. And generally, the dream goes like this. I'm married. I'm living in the dorms. My wife lives in the other dorms. You know, something weird like that doesn't even make sense. But it was a change for me. I grew up in a small church. I never didn't dress up for church. We wore jeans to church, jeans and t-shirts. What I wore to church. That's how I grew up. That's how I lived. And I went to college, and they said you got to wear a tie to every class. You got to wear a tie to lunch and dinner. And you got to wear a sports coat to dinner. I skipped dinner because I didn't want to wear the sports coat to go to dinner. It was just different for me. It was a different place. It was a different life. But God did something in my heart. He did something in my life. And he grew me through that. Choose God even if it means forsaking the life that you know. One of the big lessons I've learned that is in order to serve God, you need to step way out of your comfort zone. Think how far Moses was out of his comfort zone. He was raised in the palace. Then overnight, he's running for his life, and now he's living on the backside of the desert. What a change. But God used him. God met him there on the backside of the desert. That's where the burning bush experience happened. And that's where Moses became the great leader that led God's people out of Egypt. You need to get to a place in your life where the only one you can turn to is God, and then God comes through. Sometimes you need to leave the familiar surroundings of home and friends. Sometimes you need to step out of your comfort zone of whatever it is in your case. Maybe it's a career, maybe it's a job, maybe it's money, maybe it's friends. Maybe it's just being away from everything that's familiar to you. I don't know what it is. It's not like there's a certain formula. You follow this and you're in God's will. But whatever God has for you, be willing to step out of your comfort zone and say, okay, God, I'll just do whatever you want me to do, regardless of what I've got to leave. Moses chose God, even though it meant forsaking the life that he knew. I don't remember who said this, but it's a great quote. When God wants to do the amazing, he starts with the difficult. But when he wants to do the miraculous, he starts with the impossible. It's okay to step out of your comfort zone. It's okay to follow God and say, God, I don't know where this is going, but if this is where you're taking me, I'm on. I'm signed up for the journey. God will get you where you need to go. Choose God, even if it means forsaking the life you knew. And then choose God even if others get upset with you and there's negative consequences. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who's invisible. Moses did not fear the wrath of the king. I imagine Moses lost some friends. I wonder if some of Moses' family was upset with his decision. I can just picture this. Grandpa Pharaoh, I've decided to follow the Hebrew God instead of you. You know who the Pharaoh thought he was, right? Pharaoh, in his mind, was God. And for Moses to go to Pharaoh and say, I'm not worshiping you, following you, I'm following the Hebrew God. I wonder if anybody got upset with him. Maybe an uncle or an aunt or a cousin pulled him aside and told him he's just throwing away all his potential and hard work. You know, many successful full-time Christian workers that I know have turned down scholarships in order to go to Bible college. There will always be people who get upset with you when you choose to serve God. I've got my story. You may have your story. I've got uncles and aunts and friends that pulled me aside and said, you know, but what if God, you know, what if this whole preaching thing doesn't work out for you? Well, that makes sense. I mean, it really makes sense. What if it doesn't work out? But when you stop and think about it, basically it says, so what if what God called me to do doesn't work out? What am I supposed to do? Well, if God called me to do it, I'm going to do it. If God calls you to do it, he's going to provide for you. I had plenty in my family who tried to talk me out of doing what God wanted me to do. I knew God wanted me to do this. They wanted me to be a teacher. They wanted to be an engineer. They wanted to be all kinds of things. And those are great things to be, but not for me, because God called me to be a preacher. If God calls you to do that, do that. Do what God wants you to do. There'll always be people who get upset with you when you choose to serve God. Don't worry about who's going to get upset with you for serving God. Maybe your boss. You're maybe a valued employee, and whatever the story happens to be, but there's the decision, and your boss says you're going to do this, and you're going to have to say, I'm not going to do this. I'm a Christian. I respectfully decline. I can't. They're going to get upset with you. Your parents, your friends, your kids. Choose God even if others get upset with you. Here's the last one. Choose God even if His will seems impossible. Even if it seems impossible. By faith He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for He endured as seeing Him who is invisible. Seeing Him who's invisible. Moses endured as seeing Him who's invisible. Moses had no idea what God was about to do. The best thing Moses did was to obey God even though God's will seemed impossible. There's going to be some things in your life that seem impossible. What God has called you to do this week may seem impossible. What God has called you to do with your life may seem impossible. God, how can I ever get there? Maybe that's just exactly where He wants you to be. And you'll need to endure like Moses did as seeing Him who's invisible. I'm going to have to trust the invisible God to get me through the impossible, because I certainly can't make it happen on my own. There's some choices that God wants you to make that seem impossible right now. God wants you to tell someone how to be saved. Maybe you can't imagine doing that. But God wants you to do that. Now, there's some things I'm going to share with you in just a moment. We're almost done. I got this much more, okay? In size 4 font. No. There's some things that I know that God wants you to do, because it's general revelation in the Bible. It's everybody's supposed to do. It's a general command. There's some things that God may not want you to do that He wants me to do. Soul winning is something that I know God wants you to do. God wants everybody. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's for everybody. God wants you to tell someone how to be saved. But you might be thinking, that scares me to death. I don't even know what to say. Well, God wants you to do it. It may seem impossible, but choose God even if His will seems impossible. Maybe God wants you to step out of your comfort zone and teach a class. Maybe teach a Sunday school class. Maybe teach a bus class. Something. Teach a junior church class. Maybe, I'm not saying this for everybody, but maybe that's what God wants you to do. But you're scared to death of speaking in front of people, and you're thinking, God, that is impossible. If there's anything you've ever asked me to do, that is the one thing that is impossible. I cannot stand in front of people and speak. Well, choose God even if His will seems impossible. If God wants you to do it, He'll prepare you to do it. He'll make a way for you to do it. God wants you to tithe and give to missions, but you may not see how you're going to pay your bills. Listen, God wants you to do that. That's obedience. He has already said to do that in His Word. God wants you to stand up for Him, even though everyone around you is mocking Him, and you may be scared to death to do that. But just do it. Choose God even if His will seems impossible. Maybe, I don't know this for everybody, but maybe God wants you to become a pastor or a missionary or serve God in full-time service. I don't know if that's... I don't want to call you. It's got to be God that calls you. But when God calls you to do it, even if it seems impossible, just do it. I was 10 years old when God called me to preach. And I didn't want to do it. I was scared to death to do it. But that's what God had for me. And as He helped me to overcome the other insecurities in my life, God's helped me to do it, even though it was impossible. God wants you to be a soul winner. Choose God, even if His will seems impossible. There's some choices you need to make this year. Today's a great day to make some choices like this. It's the first day of this year. Basically, it's this. It comes down to 2 words. Choose God. Choose God. Father, thank You for letting us spend some time in Your Word this morning. Moses was a great example to us of somebody that chose You and You used him. And Lord, this is an uncomfortable sermon. This is one of those sermons that it takes us out of our comfort zone, and it makes us think, God, if You want me to do something that's outside of my comfort zone, am I even willing to do it? Lord, I pray that You'd work in our hearts this morning, and that You would give us the character, You'd give us a desire to choose You.